You would go ahead and turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 29. People seek what they most desire. What people really want, they will diligently seek after. It's instilled in the nature of men and women. We can't help but to do it. For example, if a person really wants and desires an education is what they'll seek. They may need a degree for their line of work. It may just be a pursuit of knowledge, but whatever it takes to get that education, whatever it takes to achieve that degree, that person will dedicate themselves to it. They'll pursue it with all their heart. They'll go to school. They'll fulfill the requirements needed. And they may have to work at night to attend classes during the day, or they may have to attend night classes or do computer classes so that they can work during the day. But if an education is what they really want, what they really desire, they'll diligently seek to get it. Because of the line of work Eddie Marks was in, he went to school, and it took him 16 years, one class at a time, to get his associate and then bachelor and then on to his master's, because he had to work. Year after year, Eddie dedicated himself to get that degree. And I say that only because if a man or a woman desires something, they'll seek it. You know it so, and so do I. If a man or woman desires health, they'll diligently seek and strive to be healthy. They'll pursue health. They'll read and research what it is to be healthy and how to be so. They'll eat the right things. They'll exercise. They may take vitamins. But what folks really want, they seek after. If a young man desires a wife, if he desires a lifelong companion, he'll seek her out. And when he finds her, he'll court her and he'll romance her and he'll send her flowers, maybe candy, showing his love for her. And maybe he'll send her cards telling her how much he loves her, because his most urgent desire is that she might be his. Her interest will become his interest. He'll show interest in her interest. Whatever it takes, he'll diligently seek her hand in marriage. He'll pursue her to be his bride. That's what the word seek means. It means to search for, to look for, to strive for, to work toward, to aim at, to intend on. To seek means to solicit, to request, even beg for. Whatever it takes to have the natural desire of your heart, you'll diligently seek and pursue. To pursue means to follow, to chase, to hunt, to stalk, track, trail, even hound to get. Whatever men and women truly want and desire in this world, that's what they'll pursue, seek, and go after with all their heart. That's the point I'm trying to make. This is equally true when it comes to spiritual things. Men and women do the same thing in the spiritual realm as they do in the physical. Now, if a sinner really wants to know God, if a sinner really desires to have a Savior, if a sinner really sees his desperate need before God, he will seek, he'll look, he'll strive, he'll solicit, he'll request, and even beg, if it need be, for his Savior and his salvation. He will pursue, he will follow, he will chase, hunt, stalk, and track after the one who can give them this eternal life. And that's exactly how they find it. Look at verse 13 here in Jeremiah chapter 29. The Lord says, "And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity." What is it to seek the Lord? Well, first we see that it's to seek him with all your heart, just like any other area of life, but even more so. If you really want to be saved, you will seek the Lord. You'll seek the Lord with all your heart. And if you don't, you won't. For 12 long years, a poor woman with an issue of blood spent all she had on doctors who could not help her, did not help her, and the scripture says she grew worse. As she grew worse, she grew more desperate. She wanted to be healed more than anything. I mean, after all, she spent every single dime she had to be made whole, but only grew worse. Her money didn't mean that much, I can assure you of that. Her sickness did, however. And you know, in that narrative there, she never once mentioned the money that she spent. She just wanted to be well. And then one day she heard about the great physician. Have you heard about him? His name is Jesus Christ. He is the great physician. Well, he can heal any and every disease and sickness. He's a specialist in every field. But in order for him to treat you, you have to know first that you're sick. You have to know that you have a great disease, and you have to seek him with all your heart. You see, those who are well, they don't have a need of a physician. Those that are well, righteous in their own eyes, they don't need a physician. But I tell you who does, one that's sick, like this poor woman was. Those who are sick and diseased know it, and the great physician can, and he will, and he does heal them if they seek him with their whole heart. That's what this poor woman did in her weak, her frail, her diseased body. She sought him, and I've pictured her so many times crawling through that throng of people, saying, if I could but just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. No doubt, she had heard the good news God spake through the prophet Jeremiah all those many years ago. And you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. And I'll be found of you, and I'll turn away your captivity. What was this poor woman's captivity? Well, it was an issue of blood. It's the same with us. We have a blood issue. We're polluted in and with our own blood. Those who work iniquity are polluted with blood, Hosea 6:8. A child of God seeks the Lord when they see themselves to be as God showed Ezekiel. You remember that? God said, when I passed by you and saw you polluted in your own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wilt send thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. You know, it's only because God commands us to live that we do. When I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love. And I spread my skirt over thee, and I covered your nakedness. Yea, I swore unto you, and I entered into a covenant with you, saith the Lord, and you became mine. Now that's the only way that any sinner is ever saved. If God makes us his, if he gives us Christ's perfect righteousness, if he spreads that skirt of righteousness over it, my men and women won't and don't come to Christ for one or two reasons. They don't want to be healed, or they don't think Christ can heal them. Blind, sitting on the highway side, begging. A man named Bartimaeus one day heard a commotion on the outside of Jericho, and sitting there begging, he inquired, what's going on? And someone told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And Bartimaeus, in his darkness and in his destitute state and in his poverty and desperate need, he began to cry, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. And at that moment, he sought God without moving a muscle. Could it be that he too had heard the words of God through the prophet? When you seek me, when you search for me with all your heart, I will be found of you, saith the Lord. Bartimaeus somehow, some way, saw with his blind eyes that Jesus of Nazareth was the very Lord that he found that day to deliver him from his captivity. What was Bartimaeus' captivity? His blindness. It's the same with us. We too are blind. We can't see the kingdom of God. We can't see the blessed Savior. And we too must seek and cry, Jesus, thou son of David, God in the flesh, save me. Save me. Give me eyes to see. Heal me from this issue of blood. Well, people told the old blind beggar to shut up. They said, he don't have anything for you. You're a beggar. You're worthless. That's who he came to say. Worthless. faithful, saying, worthy of our acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save unworthy sinners. He came to give sight to the blind. And that's what the Lord Himself said. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. How wonderful this is to hear. Because I'm in every single one of those categories. Are you? I'm brokenhearted because of my sin. I have an issue of blood. I've spent all that I've had to be well. I've only grown worse. I'm in captive to my sin, my sickness, my disease. I'm bound by my iniquity and I'm condemned by God's law. I'm blind, I'm bruised, I'm battered and beaten by sin. Did Bartimaeus give up and shut up? No. The scripture said he cried all the more. He cried even louder. You see, he would not be denied. He began to diligently seek and pursue and strive for what he wanted most. You know what it was. The Lord asked him the question, what would you like for me to do unto you? And Bartimaeus said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Dear sinner, a cry for mercy gets the attention of the one who has this mercy to give. Do you see that you're blind? Many are blind to their own blindness. Do you desire to receive your sight? Well, I tell you, there's none blinder than those who refuse to see. Can you even imagine how sweet the sound of these words were to old blind Bartimaeus? The Lord and Savior said, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately, the scripture said, Bartimaeus received his sight and he followed Jesus in the way. Are you following him? There was a wealthy Ethiopian eunuch who was in charge of the queen's treasury. There were no planes and trains or automobiles in his day. Now, I looked up on a map the way that he most likely traveled to get to Jerusalem, and it was across the desert and across the Red Sea to get from Ethiopia where he was to Jerusalem. And most people would ask, why? What would make him do such a thing? He desired more than anything, I mean more than anything in life, to learn of God. He was seeking the Lord. Yet while in Jerusalem, the Mecca of religion, he learned and discovered nothing. Religion didn't help him at all. Now he's heading home without finding that which he did diligently seek. And most people would have been discouraged and would have given up. But not this man. He was seeking something that he greatly desired. In the scriptures, we find him in his chariot, reading the Word of God, reading the writings of Isaiah. And what does God do? When he least expects it, God sends him a preacher. And that preacher shows him who he's reading about. He said, you know what you're reading there? He said, I don't have any man to show me. And God showed him through a man. That's the way God does it. By the foolishness of preaching what the world calls foolishness, the Lord is pleased to save those that believe. If you're going to be saved, it's going to be through preaching. Do you suppose that that Ethiopian eunuch heard the message of God through Jeremiah, who said, when you call on me and when you pray unto me, I'll hearken unto you? Because the Lord certainly did. When you seek me, you shall find me. When you search for me with all your heart, I'll be found to you. That's God's promise. Lydia, the thief on the cross, that woman who was a sinner, who washed the Lord's feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. They all wanted something desperately, and they each and every one sought it with their whole heart. They wanted mercy. And they would never be satisfied, and they would never rest until they had it. They sought it with all their heart. And you know what? Every single one of them found it. So the question this morning is, do you need mercy? Do you desire mercy? Are you seeking for mercy? Well, if you are, I got some good news for you. Be of good comfort. When you seek him with all your heart, you shall find him. When you call upon the name of the Lord, when you pray to him who is able and willing to save, you'll find him. You'll find he who can put away your captivity. What brings about this desire for mercy? What causes a sinner to seek his amazing grace? Well, really, that's another one of those who questions, not a what question. Who brings this desire? Who causes a sinner to seek? Well, if you'll give me just a few more minutes this morning, I'll call your attention to some things that I hope I answer that. First, all spiritual blessings begin with God. Last week, we talked about first things first. All spiritual blessings begin with God. Salvation is of the Lord. Here in Jeremiah chapter 29, look back at verse 10 with me, if you would. All spiritual blessings begin with God. Scripture leaves no doubt that salvation is of the Lord. Verse 10, "For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place." Now, did you notice that all this love and mercy and grace was initiated by God? He said, "I will visit you, I'll deliver you, I'll perform good things towards you." Didn't say anything about what we do for him. Why? Because we don't do anything for him. We can't. We don't have the ability to do anything good. Now, when will God do this? After 70 years, he says. You see, God is the one who visits the sinner. God is the one who delivers the sinner. And God is the one who performs good for sinners. But it's God who determines when that is. It's in God's appointed time that he does all these things. In verse 11, God says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." That little phrase, "expected end," has just stuck with me. I thought about it so much. Do you know, child of God, that you have an expected end? You can expect a good end because of who your God and Savior is. And it's called the gospel. It's called good news. The believer's expected end is a very, very desirable one. It's an expected end where Christ our Savior does for his people what God requires of them. And an expected end where the Redeemer accomplished that perfect righteousness that God demands that we have in order to be saved. God says, "I know my thoughts toward you." But you know what? God also knows our thoughts toward him. That's what makes salvation of the Lord. You say, "Well, how so?" That's what makes our salvation so undeserving, because of what our minds are against God. The scripture says that our carnal minds are enmity against God. That word means hostile. But we're hostile towards him by nature. God says, "I know your thoughts. I know my thoughts towards you. I know your thoughts towards me." Our thoughts are continual thoughts of hatred, rebellion, and enmity. The Lord himself said, "Only evil continually." His thoughts toward us are of peace. His thoughts towards us are of good, not evil. And that's why we can have an expected end of good, an expected end of mercy, expected end of grace, and an expected end of Christ. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but he loved us. But he loved us. And sent his son to be the propitiation for our sin, 1 John 4:10. We love him because he first loved us. All spiritual blessings begin with God. God's the fountain of mercy. God is the source of all grace. God is love, we're hate. God is light, we're darkness. God is truth, we're a lie. Let God be true and every man a liar. That's what we are by nature. God is good, we're evil. God is life and we are death. And if God doesn't save us, oh, hear me on this. If God doesn't save us, we won't be saved. If God doesn't do something for us first, we'll never seek him with our whole heart. The scriptures are clear. There's none that seeketh after God. Not by nature, there's not. But when God does a work of grace and puts life in a sinner's heart, they'll seek Him. He shows them their need. He shows them the remedy for their sin. And He causes them and enables them to seek Him with their whole heart. Are you seeking God with your whole heart? Secondly, all spiritual blessings come from God freely. Freely. Again, God said, I'll visit you, I'll bless you, I'll come to you. What is the believer to do in this? What is the child of God to pay? Well, that's the problem with works religion. That's the problem with salvation by works. You and I are dead in sin, and you and I can do nothing because we're dead, and we can pay nothing because of the same reason. Eternal life is the gift of God. We don't pay for it. We're dead with nothing to pay. We don't earn salvation for the same reason. We're dead with no ability to work for pay. The wages of sin, which is the only wages we have and deserve, are death. But, oh, I love that word. But, the gift of God is eternal life. How so? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. We certainly don't merit salvation. You have to deserve praise or reward to merit something. What has a dead man or woman ever merited? Well, death, hell, and eternal condemnation. That's what we deserve. We merited that. We merit the wrath and the judgment of God, so our expected end must be a free gift from the Lord and not giving us what we deserve. Isn't that what mercy is? Redemption is the merit, worth, and work of another, and that being the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thirdly, all spiritual blessings are in Christ Jesus. There are many serious, sincere, and seeking people who never find God. You ever thought about why? Why do so many zealous and even moral people, people that you and I would consider good, much better than we are, why is it that these moral people seek and never find? Well, the answer is really quite simple. It's not a popular answer, but it's a true one. They're seeking God in the wrong place. God is in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who you got to seek. You got to seek Christ to find God. There's no way, I said this in the first hour, and there's no way to have a relationship with God apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no love of God for the sinner apart from Christ. There's no mercy to a sinner apart from that which is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no grace, there's no gift, there's no faith, there's no nothing apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. No man cometh to the Father but by me. No man knoweth the Father save or except the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. John said, this is the record. God hath given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. Paul said this, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. God was in Christ. That's where you're going to find him, in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who we better seek. Everything that God has for sinners is found only in Jesus Christ. It pleased God that in Christ should all fullness dwell, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Fourthly and lastly, we are in captivity to sin. Just like that poor woman with the issue of blood. Just like old blind Bartimaeus. We're just beggars begging for mercy. How are we going to escape? How are we going to be made free from this captivity? The soul that sins, it shall die. The only hope we have here is that he who came into the world to save sinners saves us. We're shut up to the mercy and the grace of Christ himself. To every child of God, it is said, God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. God, before the foundation of the world, gave a people to Christ. The Lord Jesus said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I'll in no wise cast out. That sounds to me like a sure salvation. All that the Father gives me shall come to me. And if they come to me, I will not cast them out. Do you believe when saved, always saved? Christ did. All that the Father gave the Son will call upon Him. They'll pray unto Him. They'll seek Him with all their heart. And they'll find Him. And He'll save them. Look at verse 14 here in Jeremiah 29. He will deliver them from their captivity. Doesn't say that He'll make their deliverance possible. No, He will deliver them from their captivity. He will gather them from all nations and places. Oh, friends, it's out of every nation, kindred, tongue, and people that God will deliver and save His people. How will God save them? Peter said, not with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. That's how. It took the blood of God to save you and me. When God sees the blood, He'll pass over you. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He hath saved us. Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. You can't build your spiritual house upon anything or anyone but Christ. He's the solid rock. No other. He's a sure foundation. And those that build their house upon Him shall not fall. The storms of life will come. The rain will fall. The winds will blow and beat upon that house, but it shall not fall. Why? Because it's built on Christ the rock. The object of an awakened heart is Jesus Christ. It's not to know a doctrine. It's not to understand election. It's not to believe in predestination. It's to know Christ. Paul said, I count all things but loss for the knowledge of election? No. For the knowledge of predestination? No, that's not what he said. He said, I count all things but loss for the knowledge of Christ, that I may win Christ and be found in Him. Salvation is that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. Christ is the object of the believer's faith. Paul said, I know whom I have believed. Salvation is not only in a person, salvation is a person. I know whom I have believed. That whom is Jesus Christ. Christ died for our sins. We're chosen in Him. We're redeemed in Him. We're called in Him. We're accepted in Him. We're being conformed to His image. The child of God is. Men today are seeking heaven, but they won't find heaven by seeking it. You find heaven by seeking Christ. Jesus Christ is heaven. Heaven is heaven because Christ is there. It's become painfully aware to me that lack of interest is not why sinners don't seek God. It's a lack of need. It really is. It's just a lack of need. But if you ask God to show you your condition, if you ask God to show you your need, if you ask God to show you the only remedy, if you ask God to cause you to seek Christ, who is that remedy, if you seek Him with all your heart, you shall find Him. That's our expected end. Find Him. Christ will be found in you, which actually means that He found you. You see, He wasn't lost, you were. Christ will be found in you, and Christ in you is the hope of glory. Christ will turn away your captivity. Christ will put away your sin. Same thing. In Christ, God has thoughts of peace for you. Now, I want you to take that home and chew on it. Christ has thoughts of peace toward you. God has thoughts of good toward you. He's out to do you good, child of God. He's working all things together for what? Good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Not everybody. If you call upon Him, it proves that He called you. If you cry out to Him, He'll hearken unto you. His promise is to do so, and it's according to His own word, by which He can swear by no higher. Best news this sinner ever heard. That's why we call it the gospel. Good news for sinners. Are you a sinner? Come to Christ. Seek Him with all your heart, and you'll find Him. You'll find Him. Oh, may God be pleased to make it so, for Christ's sake.